Chapter 25. The moderator droid's words rang out through the vast chamber.
The Senate recognizes Senator Leia Organa.
Leia stood, aware of the spotlight heat as she hadn't been in years. Yesterday's applause lingered only in memory. Now her fellow senators greeted her with stony silence, except for a few faint hisses from the back. She gave no sign she'd heard them, or that the thousands of faces staring at her showed only disgust and disbelief. This might be the last time she ever addressed the Galactic Senate. For her family's sake, she had to make the most of it. I come before you today to withdraw my nomination for First Senator. Someone in the far distance laughed disdainfully, but Leia paid it no heed. That's simple to accomplish. Merely by speaking the words before you all, I've already ended my candidacy. But I would be doing the Galactic Senate a disservice if I did not take this opportunity to discuss yesterday's revelations about my birth father. The citizens of the New Republic have the right to hear exactly what I knew and when I knew it. No one stirred. Even the most hostile listener would want to learn every detail. Leia might not have their support any longer, but at least she had their attention. It has always been known that I was adopted by Bail and Breha Organa of the Royal House of Alderaan. I was described as a war orphan, a story I myself believed until adulthood. As you heard yesterday, Bail Organa had not shared the truth with me when I was younger. And sadly, the Empire's destruction of our world meant he never had the chance to speak of it later. My brother, the Jedi Knight Luke Skywalker, was the first to learn that we were twins, and that our father was the man who later became known as Darth Vader. Vader's name seemed to darken the room. He told me on the day preceding the Battle of Endor. As you can imagine, I was shocked, horrified. I had never guessed that the truth behind my birth could be so tragic, or that my birth father could be a man I had such strong personal reasons to hate. My efforts to accept this lasted a long time. In a very real sense, I still struggle with this knowledge, and I expect that I always will. Whenever she'd talked with Luke about their birth father, this was the part where he'd refused to use the name Darth Vader. "He was Anakin Skywalker when he fell in love with our mother," Luke would say, taking her hand gently in his. "And he became Anakin Skywalker again in the last hour of his life. He came back from the dark side, Leia. They said it could never be done, but our father did it. He made that journey because of his love for us." Leia believed Luke. She could feel that truth within him. But it was difficult for her to find solace in this the way Luke did. How could Vader torture her without mercy if he had that good inside? He'd still had the power to make the right choice, but had instead forced her to suffer. The Senate, of course, would not be open to hearing that Darth Vader hadn't been so evil before he died. Even introducing the topic would turn her into an apologist and probably get her thrown out of the building. Leia had to stick to the truths that would help her and her family the most. As many have known for a long time, and as you heard on the recording yesterday, my birth mother was also well known. Hadme Amidala Naberi served the planet of Naboo, first as queen, then as senator. She was among the few who stood up to Palpatine during his rise to power, one of the only people who warned against the evils to come. Leia thought of the hollows she'd seen of a delicate young woman in the ornate regalia of the Naboo throne. They shared the same eyes. She continued, "My mother is every bit as much a part of me as my father. Her courage in her own political career has always informed my own role as a senator. And as for my father, I can think of no more powerful example of the dangers of ultimate power. That is why I have always identified as a populist, why I have always warned against the concentration of political authority, and even why I agreed to run for first senator, to keep such authority from ever being so poisonously misused again." People were listening to her now. Really listening. Leia knew she hadn't won back their loyalty, but she thought they recognized her honesty. Hopefully, when Ben heard this someday, he would understand too. She began to breathe a little easier. For now, at least, the worst seemed to be over. Then the moderator droid said,
"The floor recognizes Lady Paris Syndian."
Screens and spotlights shifted to reveal Lady Carice, overdressed as usual in glittering blue. She gestured upward, as if towards space and the great galaxy beyond.
"On behalf of my fellow senators, I first wish to say that I appreciate Princess Leia's honesty, however late it was in coming. Yet something in her speech today has given rise to other, potentially more dangerous concerns. Princess Leia spoke of her brother, the famous Luke Skywalker, who has been little seen in the public sphere for many years now. Perhaps Her Highness learned virtues from her father's example, but can we say the same for her brother? If he uses his rumored strength in the Force for evil, how could we ever defend against him?"
Leia had been prepared for boos, for insults, even for rocks or rotten fruit to be thrown at her. Whatever attacks they could aim at her, she could take. But she couldn't bear hearing them turn on Luke.
"How dare you question him?"
Leia knew her voice sounded too sharp, too shrill, but her temper had gotten the best of her.
"After everything Luke's done for the Rebellion and the New Republic? Maybe Lady Carice has forgotten that he was the one who destroyed the first Death Star, or that he was responsible for ridding the galaxy of Palpatine."
"So Skywalker claims,"
Lady Carice put on her cocktail party smile.
"But we have only ever had his word for what happened on the second Death Star. And if his word is worth no more than yours has been these past several decades, well, Your Highness, we hardly know what to believe."
Murmurs began, welling louder by the second. Leia felt her breath catch in her throat.
"No. No, not this. Don't let them drag Luke down, too."
"The floor recognizes Ty Lin Gar," said the moderator droid.
Ty Lin's mere attention calmed the room. Sometimes Leia thought he would be able to turn a cyclone into a breeze. His scarlet robe looked like a badge of office, and he was the only one that day, Leia thought, who seemed to be above the political fray.
"I would first say to the Honorable Senator Syndian of Arcanis that we have no reason to question Luke Skywalker."
Ty Lin let his grave tone rather than his words condemn Lady Carice's insinuations.
"Since the Rebellion, Skywalker has lived a private life.
He has asked no more of the New Republic than any of its other citizens, nor have we just cause to ask more of him than the substantial service he has already given. As Senator Vickley of Lornera reminded us yesterday, the New Republic does not blame children for the sins of their parents, and this is no time to begin."
Leia took a deep breath, regaining her control. Luke couldn't escape unscathed from this. No one in her family could. But at least Ty Lin would keep a senatorial inquisition from getting started. Ty Lin continued,
"On behalf of the populist faction, we accept Senator Leia Organa's withdrawal of her candidacy. But I wish to state that Senator Organa's exemplary record remains unsullied, and that she retains my personal friendship and political support."
Still no applause, not even from the other populists, but Leia could feel the tension in the room diminishing. Undoubtedly, she would remain persona non grata for the duration of her term, and there could be no question of running again now. But her speech and Ty Lin's had dulled the edge of the Senate's anger. Instead of being hated, Leia would be ignored. She supposed that eventually she would feel grateful for that. It could have been worse. The moderator droid said,
"One piece of business regarding Senator Organa remains on the schedule of events. Namely, the approval of her brief leave of absence from her duties.
Leia had put in the request weeks earlier in order to cover her mission to Cybensko. The mission that exceeded her senatorial authority and went to the verge of being illegal. The mission Ransom Casterfo knew everything about. She'd avoided looking at him all day, but she did so now. Ransom sat in his place, wearing a green cloak that clashed badly with his blue shirt and trousers. His complexion was so wan he might have been a figure carved of wax. He wasn't watching his monitors, the moderator droid, or Leia herself. It seemed as if he were staring into space. One of the centrist senators jumped at his chance for attention.
I see this little vacation was requested before any of the latest unpleasantness, but I wish to be the first to say that this absence could not come at a more opportune time.
Other voices rose up, people falling all over themselves to say Leia should leave, though her few defenders framed it as necessary recovery time, while most senators seemed to feel they needed to recover from ever having been near her. She paid no attention to any of it, focusing only on Ransom. He said he'd put in for an emergency leave after mine was approved. That way we'd avoid suspicion. But now he's in the clear. He can call me out, maybe have me ejected from the Senate completely, and I don't have one bit of proof that he planned this mission along with me. Leia could have cursed aloud. Now, on top of everything else, Rinriven Dai, Arlys Hadrasian, and the Amaxine warriors were going to get away with it all. But Ransom said nothing. He never showed the slightest sign of acknowledging the debate. His eyes never focused on Leia for an instant. She realized what that probably meant, but didn't fully believe it until her leave was approved and the Senate moved on to other subjects. Ransom intended to let her go. That evening, as they all congregated in the Mirror Bright again, Greer said,
Casterfo could just be setting us up, waiting until he can send New Republic troops to catch us in the act.
It's a possibility, Princess Leia admitted. She sat in one of the chairs, as informal as Greer had ever seen her, facing the wrong way, folded arms atop the chair's back, legs on either side. Essentially, the princess looked like somebody who no longer gave a...
Can he even do that?
Joff asked.
Casterfo couldn't report on us without admitting he had advance knowledge of our trip. Since he didn't turn us in right away, that makes him an accessory or something, right?
A smart politician could find a way around that, and he's not dumb. Princess Leia's gaze had turned inward in a way that meant she was considering every possibility. But my instincts tell me that he'll stay quiet. If he were going to blow the mission, he would have done it right away.
But you can't be sure.
Greer felt profoundly ill at ease, even queasy. She hated the idea of being at Ransom Casterfo's mercy. Princess Leia shook her head. No, we can't. We just have to try it and see. So let's stop worrying about the not-so-honorable senator from Ryosa and start working out our strategy. Greer nodded.
Well, the plan's pretty basic. Joff and I dress the way we did on the Chrome Citadel, take our junker ship to Cybensko. Probably the most believable reason for you to be aboard is if you're traveling as an indentured servant, booking the cheapest possible passage on some errand for your boss.
I can do that. Princess Leia obviously didn't mind traveling incognita for a while. And 3PO?
We're bringing 3PO?
Joff said in quiet dismay. That won him a sharp look from the princess. We'll want to slice into the central computer core. That's not 3PO's specialty, but his programming is more than adequate for the task. There are other droids we could bring, but I'd rather stick with the one I know and trust. Resigned, Joff said,
Okay, but even as old as he is, 3PO looks too nice for pilots as broke as we're supposed to be.
Privately, Greer doubted this. C-3PO had been antiquated for decades now, but it wasn't a point worth arguing.
Maybe he can be traveling with the indentured servant, helping her perform whatever task her boss requires and keeping tabs on her, too.
I guess we could grub him up a little.
Joff began to warm to the idea,
Add some dust, a few dings here and there. That would help, right?
It's a good plan, Princess Leia said. And you know 3PO's just going to love getting dirty.
Greer laughed at the thought of C-3PO's dismay, but even that small motion of her head made her slightly woozy. Her last dose had hit her hard, she realized. Usually it was smarter to take a break for the rest of the day after a serum treatment, but she had work to do.
Once we get there, we broadcast the access codes we received when we took the job. That should get us into Cybensko, and we'll have to play it by ear from there.
Oh, hey, I forgot to mention. We got a new data packet from the Ryloth satellites today.
Joff looked sheepish at not having shared the news earlier, but Greer figured they'd all been distracted by Princess Leia's predicament.
Turns out Rinriven Dai's paying one of his visits to Cybensko right now. So is that good news for us, or bad?
Bad if he recognizes us. Good if he doesn't. Princess Leia rose to her feet.
Which gives us all more reasons to work on our disguises. Whatever you need, make sure you've got it by 0600 hours tomorrow. Understood?
Absolutely, Greer said.
Already the doubts she'd briefly harbored about Princess Leia seemed far away and nonsensical.
We're ready.
Princess Leia nodded and headed out of the ship. Joff grabbed a nearby data pad, eagerly searching for something.
Remember how the princess told us about the time she disguised herself as a bounty hunter? I'm going for the same kind of thing. Same species, even.
Should work.
Greer had acquired her armor days ago. She got up to leave, and the entire world spun and swayed, then went black as it vanished entirely. Joff had dived toward Greer so quickly that he'd been able to break her fall to the floor. Instantly, he cradled her head in one hand as he reached for his comlink with the other.
Medbay, emergency! We need medical assistance on the Mirabrite in the main hangar. Registry number 22061270. Repeat, we need a medic here immediately!
No,
Greer whispered. Her faint had lasted only a few seconds.
It's okay.
Like hell it is! You nearly smashed your face into the floor, you know that?
Joff hooked his free arm under her knees, propping them up slightly so more blood would flow to her head.
Maybe it's not a big deal, but you have to get that checked out.
Greer shook her head.
Wrong on both counts, Sea Striker.
On the gangway came the thump of footsteps. Joff turned to see Dr. Harder Colonia, medkit in hand, wearing an expression so gentle it belied her words.
Ms. Sonnel, how many times must we review the proper procedures for a Hedera serum treatment?
At least once more, Greer said wearily.
Dr. Colonia raised one of her angular eyebrows.
And will you finally listen to me then?
Probably not.
Greer tried to smile. The doctor tisked as she knelt by Greer's side. She wasn't rushing to begin treatment. Joff realized Dr. Colonia agreed with Greer about this not being an emergency.
You've been sneaking around to see my 2-1B when I'm away, haven't you?
I thought so. I see I shall have to ask maintenance to install a restraining bolt. In the meantime, we need to run a blood scan to ensure nothing more serious happened because of your dosage. Greer pushed up her sleeve, and Joff saw an array of small scars all along her veins.
Sure.
Joff backed up to let the doctor do her work. As soon as possible, he reached for the data pad, removing the image of the Ubi's bounty hunter and searching for information on Hedera serum. Instantly, the answer popped up, and as the light from the screen played across his face, Joff felt the shock hit him as surely as a blow.
Well,
Greer said. She lay on the floor looking over at him, paying no attention to Dr. Colonia's ministrations.
Now you know.
Greer? You have blood burn?
Diagnosed 3 years ago. So you finally found out why I quit racing.
Blood burn was a syndrome that sometimes befell space travelers, particularly those who had begun extra-orbital flights young, as Greer had.
Nobody knew precisely what caused it, but bloodburn remained rare enough that people didn't let it stop them from flying. Every space traveler knew it could happen, though. One day your own blood could turn on you and begin the long, slow process of stoking fevers higher and higher until finally your brain was fried and you were gone. Hedera serum treated bloodburn. It didn't cure it. No cure had ever been found.
There now. It's not so bad.
Dr. Colonia spoke more softly now. It occurred to Joff that the doctor had to have been keeping this secret too, because Greer probably wouldn't even be allowed to fly the Mirror Bright on official missions if the higher-ups knew. Bloodburn got you kicked out of starfighter duty for sure.
You need hydration and rest, Ms. Sonnel. Will you at least try to do that much?
When Greer nodded, the doctor glanced over at Joff, then got to her feet.
If I see you out and about tomorrow, young lady, I'll have to report you.
If you see me, Greer added.
This seemed to be a standing joke between them, because Dr. Colonia smiled slyly.
I'm rather good at not seeing things I'm not supposed to see, aren't I?
With that, she tucked her med kit under one arm and walked off the Mirror Bright.
Joff couldn't wrap his mind around it. Greer, who flew and fought like a champion racer when she got the chance. Greer was dying.
They say it helps if you avoid physical stress.
Greer stared up at the ceiling.
So I quit racing. Gave up visiting home, even when I missed it so much I hurt. Because if I couldn't live like a warrior of Pomarth any longer, what was the point? Captain Solo felt so bad when I got the news that he asked Princess Leia if she had work for me here on Hosnian Prime. That's why she took me on.
Oh.
Joff felt too numbed to come up with any coherent answer. Greer continued,
being her chief of staff and flying the Mirror Bright once in a while, that I can handle. I could live an almost normal lifespan if I stick to an office job and a regular schedule. If I eat right and exercise ever so gently. But you might have noticed that things have gotten a little livelier around here lately.
That's why Princess Leia always wants you to stay behind with the ship.
Puzzle pieces Joff hadn't even recognized before began to lock together, revealing the whole picture.
That's why she gives you a chance to back out every time.
I tell her I know my limits.
Greer's expression turned rueful.
She believes me. And don't you tell her anything different.
Greer, come on.
Joff sat on the floor next to her.
This mission is about 10 times more dangerous for you than it is for the rest of us.
I can take it. I'll be staying behind with the ship, remember?
And what if you collapse in the middle of everything? What happens then?
Joff could think of another 12 objections, but he couldn't bring himself to argue with Greer while she lay there, still weak.
Still dying. You'll get some sleep, right?
Joff tried to remember everything Dr. Colonia had said.
And you need, hydration. We'll just get you to your quarters, let you nap and drink as much water as you can.
I will. I promise. After all, I've got to be in shape for my big day tomorrow.
Greer slowly sat up. Joff couldn't look her in the eyes. He braced his arms against his knees and bit his lip. But he didn't fool Greer.
Oh, Joff. Don't.
I can't help it.
Crying openly was considered a virtue on Gatalenta, proof of a caring heart. Joff had learned the rest of the galaxy tended to prefer it when people tried to hold it together, and he'd gotten pretty good at that, but he had his limits too.
It's just, you know, you're great, and this shouldn't be happening. It's not fair.
Her expression crumpled.
You know, thank you for saying that. Nobody's ever said it before, but it's not fair. It's not.
Joff wasn't sure which one of them hugged the other first, but they hung on for so long it didn't matter. Just when he thought he might completely lose his composure, Greer let go, stepped back, and Mock punched his shoulder.
That's the last time you ever feel sorry for me. Ever.
Her smile wavered, but her voice got stronger with each word.
Got it?
Pity would kill Greer faster than any disease or serum toxicity. It was the one pain he could protect her from. Got it. The next morning, Leia stood in front of the holocam in her apartment. She wore a simple black coverall. There would be time to change into the rest of her ragged disguise after she was aboard the Junker, where nobody on Hosnian Prime could see her. Through the windows, she saw a night sky only just beginning to be brightened by dawn. She took a deep breath and began. Han, it's me. By the time you receive this, I'll have left Hosnian Prime for what the rest of the world thinks is my hiding away to contemplate my disgrace. Leia could be wry about it now. She'd poured her heart out in a more heartfelt message yesterday, one so grief-stricken she had hesitated before sending it even to her husband. But if she couldn't have Han with her to help her through it, at least she could tell him how she felt. And that meant she could focus on other things this morning. I'm not going on any sabbatical. What the rest of the Senate doesn't know is that I'm traveling to Sibensko as part of the project you and I already discussed. Sibensko can be a dangerous place, I know, but don't worry. I'm not going alone, and I know what I'm doing. Over and over, Leia spoke into the void, not knowing when or if the people she loved most would hear her. She knew why it had to be this way, but never before had her separations from Han, Ben, and Luke been more difficult to bear. Only once in her life had she felt so lonely. Without her father, or her fellow rebellion officers, or Mon Mothma, or these three men she loved so dearly to support her. That had been on the Death Star in the wake of Alderaan's destruction. Luke and Han had saved her then. Now she would have to stand alone. Leia smiled into the holocam, trying to envision her husband's face. If the mission to Sibensko went wrong, her next words might be the last Han would ever hear her say. The first time she'd had to ask herself what to do in this situation had been at Cloud City, and she said the same thing now as she had then. I love you. Then she snapped off the holocam, slung her bag over one shoulder, and walked out of her apartments into danger. How was it that danger felt more like home?